Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Katie Miller, who is the communications manager, and Dean Sell, who is the brand director of the famous Sight and Sound Theaters. And we're going to talk about some of the latest productions. It's interesting to note that in the last 40 years, Sight and Sound has done 32 original productions. That's pretty awesome. And then most recently, you've started doing film, you know, videoing the productions as well and promoting them or producing them as a film.
Yeah, 2017, Rose, good to be with you, was the first time that we took what we had been doing for the last 10 years, which is filming our shows as they're live on stage, and we had been putting them on DVD and selling them in our lobbies at the two theaters. And so 2017 was the first year we said, you know what, we could probably reach more people with these stories and these productions, so let's take it up a notch and let's take it into movie theaters all across the country. So last May we did that. Jonah played in 625 movie theaters from Honolulu, Hawaii to Anchorage, Alaska to New York City. It was an amazing experience, and anxious to continue to explore that part of how we bring the Bible to life.
Yeah, and so doing that, did you find that your audiences increased in the brick-and-mortar theater, your actual Sight and Sound, what do you call them?
The live venues?
Yeah, the live venues. Did having it in the theater increase the live venue or vice versa?
Yeah, for us, the real focus was on mission. Our calling is to bring the Bible to life and to present the gospel of Jesus. And so really the focus was mission for us, and how do we help more people have the opportunity to experience these Bible stories in the unique way that Sight and Sound does them beyond what we can hold in our brick and mortar theater. So we weren't really looking at it as a way to drive sales into live locations. It really was about how do we help more people that can't come to the live venues have an opportunity to experience one of these shows.
Yeah, and isn't that, that takes a lot of pressure off. And it also refocuses the whole purpose of why we do anything that we do. Okay, so I promised that I would have you tell a little bit about yourself. So, Katie, tell us how you came to be the communications manager and maybe a little bit about your family.
Sure. So I have the opportunity to be the oldest of the third generation of the Eshelman family. My grandparents founded Sight and Sound Theaters 41 years ago. So Sight and Sound has always been a part of my life. And throughout my entire life, I've had many opportunities to be in different parts of the organization, from being outside serving our guests to being backstage, working with our employees in our human resources department. And for the last couple of years, I've been a part of our brand team, working with doing communications through public relations and social media. So it's definitely been a fun journey for sure.
You know, I love it when family work together, because it's really a biblical principle when you think about, you know, Moses and Aaron and Miriam and the whole family system of the Jewish people. So I have no problem with it. I mean, you might get accused of nepotism now and then, but
yeah, we have 650 employees and only like 14 of us that are involved, so we're definitely outnumbered, but it's a privilege to work with my family. I wouldn't have it any other way. There's nothing quite like running into your brother or sister or mom in different meetings and throughout our days. And my kids actually both have auditioned, and they're a part of the cast in this year, and they have been the last couple of years, so it's fun to have the fourth generation start to have some involvement too.
That's a great legacy. Okay, Dean, so how did you become brand director?
Yeah, well, I have been with Sight and Sound for about 7 years, and it's really an unusual turn of events because I never thought that I wanted to be in live theater, never thought that I wanted to be at Sight and Sound. Although I grew up in Lancaster County, I went to Sight and Sound for the very first time as a kid. My mom took me and my brother and my sisters. But growing up, I was really attracted to film and music and things that weren't necessarily tied to Bible stories. But God turned my life around 10 years ago, and I was working in the advertising agency business, and there was an opportunity to come to Sight and Sound and join the creative team and to lead our marketing efforts. And so it's been an amazing experience to be a part of helping to shape what the Sight and Sound brand is and helping to orchestrate what we call the big band internally of all the different pieces that help people understand what Sight and Sound is about, who we are, what we're doing, and why we do it.
Yeah, you know, I've gone twice, and the first time I went, which was many years ago, I don't remember them giving that opportunity where you could go afterwards up and be prayed for. And then the last time I went, they had that, and I really was touched by that because, yeah, it was very interesting and very entertaining, but when it comes right down to it, if it doesn't help you in your walk, then it's just a sounding brass, right? And that really was, I don't know whose idea it was, but I thought that was a really important aspect that now we've taken this production and we've connected it.
Yeah. It's really a reflection of our heart. You know, when we say there's no other place like Sight and Sound, it's not just because of the level of stage productions that we do, but it's also because we're very unique in that it's a business with a ministry and a ministry with a business.
Yeah.
So we don't know of too many other businesses where you can walk in and ask your customers if they would like to be prayed for, you know, but that really is just a reflection of our heart. You know, we exist to present the gospel of Jesus, and we are there to sow God's word, and we believe that God's word does not return void. And so we want to make sure that we're providing the opportunity for people to respond if they see fit. And so we've got people that are from the shop that are welders and carpenters, people that work in concessions, people that are working in accounting that volunteer to leave their stations throughout the day, come down into the theater and be there to be able to minister and pray with people if they want it.
And I think for us too, we're premiering Jesus this year for the very first time. And as we've had the opportunity to really dive into that story, there's so much about who he was, where he, you know, spoke to the crowds of 5,000, 10,000, but then he also would stop and talk to the one and touch the one. And so it's an opportunity for us to be able to model that, and we're presenting to thousands of people that come through our doors, but recognizing that every person that comes through our doors is an individual with their own story.
Yes.
And the opportunity to just be able to reach out and touch that person and have that just a moment of connection is something that's really special for us.
Now I look at, you know, the story of Samson, and you know that happened a long time ago, and then I look at the story of Jesus, and I think that's one of the hardest stories to actually dramatize. How are the decisions made as to what stories are going to be presented?
We have a whole team of people. We have a team that we call our story department, full of our writers, directors, and producers. And they work in conjunction with our leadership team to, you know, what stories are on their heart that they have some vision to tell, but then also what we feel is just relevant for the times that we're in. And, you know, when we go to choose the next story that we're going to do, the next show we're going to bring to life on stage, it's definitely a team effort and done with a lot of prayer, a lot of intention, research, and just working together to see what feels like the next best thing for us.
Our CEO likes to say that the decision around which show we're going to tell next is probably the second most important decision that we make outside of the people that we hire. And so we don't take it lightly.
Yeah.
And I have the privilege of sitting in some of those meetings and those discussions, and I will tell you, you know, looking behind the curtain as a kind of a sneak peek, that those decisions are made with a lot of prayer, a lot of discussion, and trying to just connect what we feel like God is saying to us and really the need of our times. And so we try to connect the passion of a producer or a director that really has a lot of vision for the story that they want to tell and what we believe our audience is in need of or ready for. And so it's not a decision that's taken or made lightly, a really important one. But I would say that every story has its own unique challenges, you know, sometimes from a spectacle standpoint, sometimes from a technological standpoint, sometimes from a story standpoint. You know, Samson had a lot of challenges. People look at Samson as somebody that was a failure,
yeah,
somebody that wasn't a hero. He was sort of the anti-hero. And so for us, it was really exciting when we found the piece of insight that drove a lot of what the story was built on, and that is that Samson is found in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. And so for us, we said, you know what? If God saw him worthy enough of being in that scripture and in the ranks of Moses, then we should tell the story from his perspective, a father's perspective.
Yes, and I think that Samson, now Samson is being premiered March 3, 2018. I think it's important to have some of these stories that show a real human being and all the foibles, and because when you just look at all the perfect Bible characters, it can get rather discouraged. You can be discouraged.
Outside of Jesus, Rose, you know, every other character from the Bible is just like you and I, flawed human beings that are trying to find their way, sometimes seeking God, sometimes not. You know, for me personally, Samson was a story that kind of hit home because he was a guy that didn't want to follow God's plan for his life. And I can relate to that, you know, to sit there and watch him wrestle and struggle through those decisions and yet ultimately see the favor and blessing and grace that God had for him was something that just moved me from the very beginning of when I first heard the script being read. And I think that it's something that's really important for people to hear.
Yes.
You know, that these people, we sometimes hold them up as if they were perfect people, and they absolutely weren't. They're
yes.
flawed people just like you and I.
I have to take a break right here because but I'm laughing because I'm thinking of Jonah. But we'll be right back. We're talking with Katie Miller and Dean Sell of Sight and Sound. You can go to their website, sight-sound.com, and see exactly what we're talking about. We'll be right back.
Hey, Rico, you want a soda?
No, thank you.
What's the matter with you?
What do you mean?
You used to love soda. Now all you drink is that stuff that comes out of the faucet.
You mean water?
Yeah, water. How boring is that?
Not boring, healthy. Water isn't loaded with sugar.
Hey, a little bit of sugar never hurt anyone.
True, but soda doesn't just have a little bit. It has a lot.
How much is a lot?
Well, take that cola you're drinking. Inside that can is over 10 teaspoons of sugar.
10?
In here?
Yep.
And not only that, you're dumping a bunch of chemicals and preservatives down your throat, too. Your body has to deal with all that junk. Trouble is, when it's trying to protect you from what you're drinking, it has to spend less time helping you build muscles and keeping your organs working properly. Besides, all that sugar is just helping to make people fat. And being fat certainly isn't good for you. That's why I'll just stick with plain old boring but healthy water.
How about low sugar sodas? They're okay, right?
Well, they do have less sugar, but you're still getting a bunch of chemicals and preservatives. So what do you have against water?
It's not manly to sip water. How many macho men do you see sipping water?
You're 11 years old.
Then I want to be a macho kid. So why not be a healthy macho kid?
I see your point. I guess being fat and sick isn't macho either, so go ahead and pour me a glass of water. But put it in a dirty glass. You are so weird.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com.
Coffee. When are we gonna get through this jungle?
Ah, don't. No.
Coffee, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, Coffee, let me see.
This clap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, an I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out.
Go to
mrgmediaministries.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. So we talked a little bit about Samson, and I was just chuckling because, you know, I had said that some of these Bible characters were so perfect, and then I remembered Jonah, which you'd done last year, and Jonah certainly wasn't perfect, so I take that back. So let's talk about Jesus. He was perfect, so much so that it's kind of a hard story.
It is a hard story. Last week, I was talking to one of our co-writers, Kristen Brewer, about the show and the script. And she said, you know, when we sat down to start writing this show, it was so challenging because how do you write a story about a person who has no flaws? Where's the conflict? And she said, and then we started really diving into the scriptures and the gospels and recognized that while Jesus didn't have flaws, every single person around him did. Yes. And that's exactly why he came. And that's where the triumph comes. That's where the struggle comes. And so as we go into premiering Jesus this year, the thing we're most excited about is really revealing his character and who he was through the people that he encountered and who they were before him and who they were after they knew him. And
yes.
So there is so much struggle and conflict and triumph throughout the story of Jesus. It's the greatest rescue story that we could tell.
Yes. So you start with the part that we all love, which is his birth.
Yeah, it's the story of Jesus. The way that we are choosing to tell it is not necessarily a chronological historical account. While there will be all of the main points included in the story, his birth, the crucifixion and resurrection, it really is about his life and the characters around him. And so while all of those pieces are a part of the show, it's not necessarily a chronological retelling.
Yeah, but the crucifixion, I mean, I really don't like to hear what he went through at the crucifixion. I don't like to see that crown of thorns pressed on his head or that he was mistreated. I mean, I still just have the hardest time listening to that. And so how did they handle that?
You know, I'm a father of three. I've got an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And so I'm sure many parents can relate to the struggle that we have to find age-appropriate content that's appropriate for the whole family, a mm-hmm. place that we can go and have an experience together that we don't have to be covering our kids' ears or eyes. And so that's something that's really important to us at Sight and Sound. We are a family-owned, family-led company. We believe in the family, and we design our shows to be family-friendly. So the producer-director of Jesus is a father of four as well. And so in approaching that scene, we knew that it had to be in the show, of course. It's mm-hmm. really important. But he really took a different approach and sort of turned it on its head and reversed it. And so while it is going to be there, it's not going to be the traditional telling of it. It won't be something that you're going to have to cover your kids' eyes or ears.
It's not going to be like The Passion, right?
We try to make each story that we tell unique. And while these stories have been told many times in many different ways, it's sometimes hard to do that. But we feel like we found a really unique way to tell that part of the story.
So many of the stories that Sight and Sound became famous on had to do with animals. You know, like the flood story and all the animals. I mean, that was the very first time I ever heard about Sight and Sound, where they have real animals coming. And even with Samson, you know, the foxes all ran through and At least they look like foxes. Maybe they were fake foxes.
They were Pomskies. They were Pomeranian Husky mixed
dogs. Oh, really?
Yes, they look like foxes, though. They're some of our most favorite animal actors, for sure.
A little bit of stagecraft there.
Yeah. And so with Jesus, you know, what animals are you going to, I guess you could have a donkey.
Yes, we definitely have a donkey. We have a number of donkeys. As you said, animals are such a beloved part of our experience, and, you know, them coming up and down the aisles and just being a part of the stories is something that's really special to us. So in Jesus, we have all of the animals you'd expect, from donkeys and horses and camels to some a little bit more unexpected. There's some cats that run around on the seaside docks of Galilee. Peter has a son, and his son has a pet dog, so there's a couple of dogs throughout the show. Lots of birds and doves and pigeons. There's, you know, the temple scene where Jesus confronts the money changers at the temple, and so we have a lot of animals that run up and down the aisles during that scene. It's a bustling, fun, vibrant temple scene. So as with every sight and sound experience, Jesus is no exception. We will have lots of animals.
And pigs as well.
There pigs. I forgot about the pigs.
Yes. Oh, this is wonderful. So those of you who have never gone to Sight and Sound, you need to go. It's part of it should be part of every family's experience. Now, are you going to continue also providing these to theaters?
You know, we don't have anything to share with you today, but I will tell you that our intent last year when we brought Jonah to movie theaters was for it not to be just a one-time event. It really was just the beginning of us exploring how we can help to bring these stories to people that can't come to our physical theaters in Lancaster, PA, or Branson, Missouri. So we are actively in discussions right now, talking about how we can make that happen again this year. So stay tuned, and hopefully we'll have some more news to share not too far off in the future.
And then I have to ask, how is technology changing or enhancing what is being done at Sight and Sound?
Well, one of the biggest technological advances that we've experienced this year is with the show Jesus. We've introduced a massive LED screen on stage that is the wingspan, it's the size of the wingspan of a 737, so 110 feet wide. It's 3 stories tall. It's the largest LED screen in the world of its kind. So it's rigged to be able to fly up and move out of sight and then move back down. So it serves as a backdrop. It has 22 million pixels, and it really is creating an effect, a modern-day effect, similar to those old Viewmasters that used to hold up and turn the little trigger, and it looked like the photos were in multiple layers. And so really excited to bring this piece of technology into the show experience, not just to have new technology, but because of the way it helps to bring the story to life. Mm-hmm. If we can help people escape from all of the distractions of life and really be focused and centered on every single step that each character has in that show, then we're doing our job. And so we feel like this is one way to help them become even more engaged and immersed in that story.
Fantastic. Well, Katie, I'm going to let you take us out as the communications manager. What message do you have for my listeners?
Come see the shows. We have Jesus premiering in Lancaster, Pennsylvania this year, and Samson will be bringing the house down in Branson, Missouri. You can find tickets at sight-sound.com.
Amen. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.